Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In our gospel, the Lord Jesus refers to the day of the second coming as a day of distress and perplexity for the world, but a day when our redemption draws nigh and when the believer can lift up his head and rejoice. Now, this is brought out in a cross-reference to our gospel lesson that's from earlier in the Gospel of Luke, where Jesus also speaks about the second coming, the day of the Lord's coming. And that's in Luke chapter 17, and you have a little sheet there with you that has the sermon text in it for today. Luke 17, 26 to 37. Jesus begins this passage by saying, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man." So the Lord Jesus Christ, he's warning about the coming of Christ in glory and about the day of judgment and the day of reckoning. And he says that the day of the Son of Man will be very similar to the days of Noah. How so? "For they did eat and drink. They married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all." So he said, what Jesus is saying is, take heed to the doctrine of the second coming of Christ, because that day will catch many people unprepared. They will be heedless of the preaching of Noah. They will continue to love their sins, to love this life, and to despise any idea that we owe allegiance to God or that we should trust and obey the Lord God. And so, life continued as normal. Yeah, crazy old Noah was building an ark in his backyard, and he was warning about the coming of the flood. But everybody just thought that he was a nutty old goat, right? And they ate, they drank, they got married, they were given in marriage. Life continued as normal, and people continued heedless of the call to repent until the day that the door of the ark was shut. The flood came and destroyed them all. And so it will be on the day of the Lord. Everyone will turn a deaf ear to the voice of the preaching of the Holy Christian Church. You see it already today in the attitudes toward Christianity in particular and religion in general. And the fact that people, having turned away from Christ as a culture, are now embracing every form of sin, wickedness, and disobedience, and thinking that they're smart for doing so. And yet, when that day comes, the Christian believers, having heard and keeping on hearing the word of the gospel, they will be expecting it and looking for it, and that day will not take any believing Christian by surprise, because they will see the things that lead up to it, they will draw the appropriate conclusions from the Word of God, and when it happens, they will look up and lift up their heads, because the day of their vindication and glory has finally arrived. But for the rest, they will be swept away under the judgment of God. They will answer him who comes to judge the quick and the dead, and there will be hell to pay. He moves on in the book of Luke 17, verse 28. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Alright, so here we have the second temporal example of God's judgment coming upon a wicked and disobedient people. The people of Sodom living in their wickedness, so that one of the most graphic of all sins is named after them. Right? And they were living in their rebellion against God, living in their idolatry, living in their wicked sensual license, and they brought upon themselves the judgment of God. And then one day, in the midst of life going on as normal, all of a sudden, fire and brimstone rained out of heaven from God. Brimstone, by the way, means burning sulfur. Okay, sulfur. All right. So, fire and brimstone from heaven, from God. Now, notice that they are all destroyed in the flood except for Noah and those who were with him in the ark. They were all destroyed in Sodom and Gomorrah, with the exception of Lot and those who were delivered with Lot. So Jesus comes to verse 30, and he said, "Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." So when the second coming takes place, it will be very much like the flood and the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, except that it will be on a universal scale. And it will mean not only the end, but the final end of all things, the beginning of a new heaven and a new earth. So Jesus goes on, and he wants to show some of the things that we need to take care of spiritually so that we're ready to meet that day. And he says in verse 31, "In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not turn back." Right, what's Jesus saying here? He's saying, as Christians, we are free through Christ. We must not therefore put ourselves in bondage to the things of this world. We may not, we must not make the things of this world our masters, so that the real attachment of our heart is on the things of this life. We may use and enjoy the things of this life, but we must never anchor our hearts to them, so that there arises a division in our minds between God and this world. We are not to be worldly. We are not to be fleshly. We are not to be godless. We are not to turn the good things of this world that God gives us to use into gods that reign over us and cause our hearts to have a divided loyalty. So Jesus says here, the first order of business is that we keep our faith perspective straight by the word of God and not allow the things of this world to take precedence in our loyalties over God, His church, His word, and His salvation. Right there, that's the essential message of verse 31. And then he issues another cautionary tale. He says, remember Lot's wife. And that says the three words, and they say a lot. What happened is, if you don't remember from Sunday school, right, is that when God sent his angels to bring Lot and his family out of Sodom and Gomorrah before the time came for his judgment, they were very sluggish to leave. It was a hard trip. Lot was not a young man anymore. And they were dilly-dallying and they were going along, and the angel had to grab them by the hand and drag them out of the city. And God's word through the angel said, whatever you do, don't look back. Don't look back. And while they were escaping, Lot's wife, who was on the verge of being saved, she turned around and looked back. And the Lord destroyed her, and she became a pillar of salt. And if you go on a tour of the Dead Sea area today, there are all these columns, salt columns, and they always point to those, the tour guys, and say, there's Lot's wife, you know. What happened was this, that in the final analysis, you know, she was the wife of a righteous man. She lived in the only righteous family in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. She was on her way to safety. But at the last moment, it was revealed that her heart belonged in Sodom, that her loyalties were with the Sodomites, that she longed for her home and her friends and her family members in the place of destruction, and her loyalty to the Lord God was forsaken. She looked back and she perished with the wicked. Jesus here says, remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. You see, Lot's wife, she wanted to save her life. She didn't want the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. She wanted to go back there. She wanted to have it like the old days. Her heart was anchored in the Lord's in the Lord's condemnation rather than in the Lord's glory. And so she sought to keep her life, to save her life, and she ended up losing it. But whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. This is what happens to us, first of all, in holy baptism. In holy baptism, we die with Christ to sin, to the world, to death, and to condemnation. And we rise with Christ to new life, and we live in Him. This is what the Lord also accomplishes through us throughout our life in the preaching of the gospel and in the sacrament of the altar, where He sustains us in the new life from Him and causes us to live in daily repentance and faith, daily dying to our sins and daily rising to new life in Christ again. He who loses his life shall preserve it. That is, the one who is converted, who comes to faith in the Lord Jesus and abides in that faith, shall keep keep his life forever. All right, we're in the home stretch here. Verse 34. I tell you, in that night, there shall be two men in one bed. One shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. Right. What does it mean? Number one, there are three pairs of two here. There are two people who outwardly look exactly the same. Two men in the same bed, two women grinding together, two men in the field. Outwardly, they appear identical. But in each case, one is taken from judgment to a place of safety, salvation, and glory, and the other is left abandoned to the wrath and judgment of God and left behind. All right. So on the one hand, you have what two people who appear to be the same on the outside. But inside, one is a repentant, believing person who trusts in Christ. The other is a person who may be outwardly upright, but has no faith in their heart, does not repent of their sins, lives their life for this life and its goods. And so one is taken away from judgment and brought to glory, and the other is left for wrath and judgment. Now when the disciples hear this, they're kind of shocked by it. They're shocked by it, and they say to Jesus, Where are they going to be taken, Lord? Where are people going to be taken? And they're like amazed at this. And the Lord answers, and he said, same thing he said a couple of weeks ago in our gospel lesson, I think for the 26th Sunday after Trinity. He said, wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. Now, this is basically a proverbial statement. And what it's saying is this. It will be obvious where when it happens. Because if you're searching for a dead body, and you look up in the sky, and there are a bunch of eagles or vultures circling around, you know where the body is. And so Jesus uses this to tell the disciples, when it happens, you won't need anybody to answer the question where. You will know where, because it will be obvious in that day. He also has used this passage to say, wherever the body is, there will the eagles be gathered. That is, wherever Christ is with his saving blessings and glory, there will his people be gathered together around him. Now, if we will not gather around Christ in his church now, when the last day comes, we certainly will not gather to Christ. You see, all of this life, we are training for the end of things. And if we will not love these things now, we will not suddenly love them later on. You know, we hear a lot about deathbed repentance, deathbed conversion. And it's true that there are people who on their deathbeds are gloriously brought to faith in the nick of time. But most people are not. And if you're counting on repenting when you're dying, you are probably not going to repent. Why? Because the longer you persist in sin, the less and less likely it is that you will ever repent. when you are breaking God's commandments, the longer you live in disobedience and rebellion against the will of God, the harder your heart will become. And the more and more you will insist on staying in your sins. And so the idea that you can come to repentance on your deathbed, it is certainly true in one sense of the term. We have the penitent thief on the cross. It happens, but it doesn't happen anywhere near as often as we like to think it happens. So what's the message? Believe in Christ now. Serve the Lord Christ now. Use the things of this world loosely now. Be faithful and hearing and open to the Word of God now, so that when the day comes, you will not be swept away unprepared like the people in the days of Noah, the people in the days of Lot, or with the rest of the impenitent wicked on the day that Christ returns. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.